Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a one. Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Are there Nazis in Sausage? I haven't seen Sausage Party. Are there Nazis in Sausage Party? Are we recording?
Yes.
Welcome to Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. I'm Matthew Olenchek, joined as always by Harrison Poole. How are you, baby?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Oh, I just watched the greatest food-themed movie of all time.
I just watched this movie twice today.
I know.
And I'm a little bit angry at you.
It's really good. It has a lot of deep messages. It's a good movie to show your children.
Yeah.
You learn a lot about life.
Like what?
Nazis are bad.
Yeah.
Eat donuts.
Sure.
Fuck dogs.
Okay.
Oh, and there's one. There's another big message that I've just. I've lost it, but it's there.
So,
email us, Two Men Movie Podcast. What's the message I'm forgetting?
I don't know, and I can't believe I'm about to ask this question.
Yeah, what's up?
So, okay, it's not the exact same because technically speaking, Sunshine is a cat, even though she looks like a human. Actually, okay, so at the end, the three ladies with the chocolate squirrel, that we have no idea.
We have no idea. They're just women.
Yes. Does this universe operate on BoJack Horseman rules?
I don't know. I think it's close. I think we have to assume. Otherwise, we have nothing to work from here. I mean,
right.
They do such like deep world building, but they never really touch on why some Ikes are just people and others are dogs and others are like half cat.
Why is every woman in this movie either like animated like a bombshell or a hag
or a bird
or a bird? The reporter.
Yeah, those are the three female genders. That's another thing kids are learning from this movie, is that every woman you meet is either going to be gorgeous or ugly, and it's okay to call them ugly. In fact, that makes them a worse person. And you might see a beautiful person, but if they're evil, they're really ugly and just went to Brazil and got a lot of plastic surgery. The only good people are naturally beautiful.
Yeah.
And that is, and all bad people are ugly.
Yeah. That is a weird thing that they're trying to impress on children. Also, this is a children's movie.
It's rated PG. You can show your kids it, no problem. They've got to screen it. You know, that's good. You need to see more movies like that. It's hard to find a movie to show your child. Because, you know, today you're worried about, like, oh, what are they going to teach my kids? Is this going to be, like, sexual innuendo? Is there going to be, like, touching on themes I don't think they're ready for, like the Holocaust? But with Food Fight, you don't have to worry about that. It doesn't have any of those things. It doesn't have a crotch shot.
Okay. I need to start. I mean, we've already started. Why? I just gotta know why. Why did you pick this? Why did this get made? Why has God cursed me? Why did I have to watch this
twice? I think it's an important movie for anyone that likes film to watch, you know?
Explain.
You know, okay. Life can't just all be Citizen Kanes and Asteroid Cities and Swiss Army Mans, all right? Sometimes, you know, you gotta have your food fights in there. That's art, too.
Sure.
He put a lot of money into this.
Too much.
He put a lot of work into this. He made this movie twice, technically.
How much do you think this movie cost?
$1 billion.
Okay, real talk.
Half a billion dollars.
You think this movie cost more than Avengers Endgame?
It's almost...
almost
the only thing that this movie's actually made out of is big name actors.
Yeah.
And product placement.
Yes.
I don't think the people were paying to be in this movie. I don't think Mr. Clean Organization LLC came to this guy and's like, I'll pay you if you put me in your movie.
Well, this was supposed to be a big theatrical movie, so he did pay for the rights to, like, he,
yeah,
all
for
of
every
mascots.
And it's every scene is just composed entirely. There's like maybe five Ikes we see. I'm sticking to the terminology. Three Ikes, five Ikes
Icons,
we see that
mascots,
aren't true. Actually real things. Like, all the main cast isn't like actual brands, but like everything else is like an actual brand you can buy in your grocery store. So after you watch this, you're like, oh man, I loved the tuna fish. I'm gonna go get some of his tuna.
Yeah.
You get to live the movie.
Is he the only high level icon that has a speaking role?
Mrs. Buttersworth.
She talks?
Yeah, she apologizes to Mr.
You're
Clean
right,
for making
right,
him dirty.
Right. She has one line. You're right. I apologize. That's my bad.
Imagine if they hadn't cut it, Chester Cheeto would have had quite a few lines. But he got cut when they had to remake the entire movie. Because someone deleted it.
Okay, yeah. I looked it up a little bit last night to prep myself for today. Because there's no way this movie's real. Explain a little bit of the history of this movie.
Well, it cost a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah. How much do you think this movie cost?
But I know the number. It's like, isn't it like $60 million?
It is between $45 and $60 million.
Yeah, it cost a lot of money to begin with. Because it has like Charlie Sheen, Wayne Brady, like Hilary Duff. It's like named people in it. And all these product placements. And then like someone deleted the fucking footage of this movie. Someone got spited.
Yes.
And deleted the movie. And he decided to just simply remake it. With like, if you see the trailers, worse animation.
Oh, so much worse. So this was originally supposed to be in theaters in like 2003, I think, or 2004. And then, like you said, it got deleted. So it's the same thing happened to Toy Story.
Yeah.
But there was...
Someone saved it.
Yeah, there was an editor who had a baby
and
had the last save on her home computer.
No one had saved this movie. I think if it got released in 2003, we would have seen an early end to the Iraqi-Afghanistan conflicts. I think this would have brought something resembling world peace in the Middle East.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's my hot take.
Care to elaborate?
No.
Okay. I think that's one of my favorite things you do, is just make these like sweeping takes, do not elaborate, and then I have to decide in editing whether or not I want to keep it.
Man. I just, look, it would require a poli-sci degree you don't have. It's really complex, the machinations of world politics. But I do think that Wayne Brady... spending an hour and a half talking about how white women love chocolate would have ended some conflicts. How could he be angry about Muslims after watching this movie?
So he sexually harasses every woman he talks to, correct?
Yeah, and gets sexually harassed in turn. This movie is incredibly horny.
Oh my god, why did you do that?
So horny.
This movie is really horny.
Like, everybody's fucking everybody, and like every other bit of dialogue is about fucking. Like, it's the main villain is her only character trait besides Nazi is sex appeal. That's all the character is.
Yeah.
I don't know her name.
Lady X.
Lady X. Yeah, Lady X is just like sex appeal and being a Nazi.
Yeah.
And you might think, oh, well, how can she be a Nazi and hot? That doesn't make sense. Good people are attractive and bad people are ugly. Don't worry, that gets fixed.
Okay, so should we actually try and get into this movie?
I desperately want you to crack open your little notebook and I want... No one's done this before. I mean, no one's done any movie podcast with straight men before, but no one's ever, like all those, like, queer people of color have never touched this movie in such depth.
So this movie begins with, like, this, honestly, if the animation was better, it's not a bad shot. This, like, crane shot from the parking lot into the grocery store where the grocer is... helping an old lady to her car.
And then he's like, time to close down. He turns off the lights like it's a bar. Like it's the end of fucking like a Cheers episode. And then like, so we see the, we do this panning shot of like everything turning off. And then immediately do a panning shot in the opposite direction of everything turning back on. Because it's time for the Ikes to come out and play in their little world.
Yes, it's then we discover we have Toy Story rules.
We have Toy Story rules, but not really. Because you can just be next to people and people can interact with you. It's more like a danger thing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they never express fear that like their world will be discovered. They express fear that they'll be stepped on.
Oh,
which
yeah,
I
yeah,
do
yeah,
not understand that fear whatsoever.
Yeah, okay. Yes, you were very jealous of Charlie Tuna. You explicitly mentioned it
yeah,
while we were watching.
That rat bastard.
In fact, when we get to that point in my notes, I'm sure you're going to say it again.
That rat bastard. Why can't I be stepped on by hot Nazis?
So the lights, the city comes to life, and we are introduced to a slew of Ikes, icons.
You know most of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's this character introductions, but, like, you know who the Tuna Man is.
Yes, and even the ones that are fake, you can absolutely tell which, like, brands they're parodying.
Yeah, but then we get right into the action with Dex Dogtective.
Yes.
Voiced quite well.
Truly, he's trying.
He puts in the effort, but Charlie Sheen is the star of this movie, and he's fighting a rat burglar
yes,
who's kidnapped some kittens or something, and there's, like, naked mole rat ninjas.
Hamsters,
and,
yeah.
Hamsters, and they're on a floating balloon, and he has them jump to their death, and then he, like, kind of just floats around. He stabs a balloon. Floats around, down to the ground, like T-posing almost, and is immediately met by one of the three types of women, a bird, who's like, you've done five consecutive cases, how do you do it? As in your job of being this man who does this, which I thought was a wild thing to say. Like, if I went up to a cop and said, you just worked 500 cases back to back, how do you do it? And he's like, it's my 9 to 5.
So,
like if he's a private detective, sure, but, like, it's his job. He's a cop. This is what he's supposed to do, lady.
Okay, he is. Is he a cop? I thought
he was
in charge.
No, he's in charge of the defense force.
I thought the weasel was in charge of the
defense. No, he gets in charge.
The ferret.
The ferret gets in charge of the defense force after he becomes a club owner, like it's Casablanca, tying into the Nazi
yes,
themes.
Which is what made me think it was a PI.
No, that's after he loses his hot, good, pure Aryan girlfriend.
Named Sunshine Goodness.
Sunshine Goodness. Because she's sunshiny. She is good.
She's a cat lady.
Yeah, it's like, Hilary Duff with cat ears.
Yes.
And like drawn on whiskers.
Oh, yes. Did we ever mention Charlie Sheen's character's name?
Dex Dogtective.
Yes, from Cinnamon Sleuth Cereal.
Is he from Cinnamon Sleuth Cereal?
Yes.
I'll be honest, I didn't know what he was representing this entire movie.
Well, it said in the background, Cinnamon Sleuth Cereal.
Yeah, he's a cereal. She's raisins. Raisins are poisonous to dogs, but he eats a bunch of them. And she doesn't have a tail. All she has is cat ears.
She is. Oh, yes. We find out Dex wants to propose to Sunshine.
With a 4-carat ring, which has 4 carats on it. This is the high quality punnery you can imagine from this movie. I have to stress that he is, in fact, a full on dog.
So
he has like a dog head.
Yeah.
Like, his body is furry and he's a dog head. She is, again, just a woman with cat. She is like the very nice sorority girl you know in college who everyone likes. She's just a good person. But like her Halloween game not up to par.
That was exactly what my comparison was.
Yeah, she showed like everyone got one really hard for Halloween. She just shows up with cat ears and she's like, I'm a cat. But you're like, sunshine. Because, you know, she just, like, she, like, helps starving children or something.
Yes. And Dex wants to propose to her. He organizes this, this like, picnic in the woods.
In the woods. There's, like, five trees.
Yes. Where they're, it's being waited on by his friend.
Manservant.
Butler.
Butler.
Maximilius.
Maximilius Moose.
Yes.
Who's New York?
Oh, he's a very, yeah, very New York.
But
moves.
this touching interspecies marriage is broken up by the introduction of Wayne Brady's character.
Oh yeah, yes, Wayne Brady is actually introduced in the previous scene where he's talking about
Oh yeah, they do
because
talk.
he shows him the 4-carat
Daredevil
ring.
Dan, a chocolate squirrel who can't fly a plane, despite that being his entire gimmick.
Which I did not know this was voiced by Wayne Brady.
Yeah, he's such a good actor. Harrison had no idea.
No, because he's...
that this was Wayne fucking Brady.
Because the voice was so weird. He made such a decision. He made a decision.
I mean, imagine a chocolate chipmunk flying a plane. Does that know what he sounds like?
I mean, it's not wrong, but it's just...
perfect casting.
Also, are we going to... when do you want to get into the audio issues of this movie?
We can touch on them right now. They're bad. The voice line, like, different actors have different levels of quality. Sometimes between scenes, the audio quality will change. Like, one character you just can't understand anymore. Only Charlie Sheen remains crystal clear the entire movie.
This was supposed to be in theaters as, like, a real big budget movie.
It would have done bangers, dude.
It was quietly released direct-to-video with one of the most stacked casts.
It would have, like, had to be shut down because everyone would have been fucking in the theater with how horny this fucking film is.
So the audio issues. There's Charlie Sheen.
Please, baby, dress up as Sunshine Goodness.
No.
I can't get off if you're not Sunshine Goodness.
Charlie Sheen is the only person with any... I mean, Hilary Duff, but she's in so little of this
she's
movie.
She's in so little of this movie.
Charlie Sheen is the only, like, actor with legit consistent audio quality and levels.
And, like, emotional acting.
Yes. Wayne Brady does well. Christopher Lloyd does well.
Christopher Lloyd does the best.
Leonard. Unironically, I think Christopher Lloyd's my favorite, like, not my favorite character, but my favorite, like, voice.
I'm going to
movie.
Squash you. Oh, ho, ho.
But the levels are weird. The quality goes from, like, studio to USB mic to...
yeah, it gets, like, this is a voice note that my mom recorded back in 2001 on, like, her first-gen cell phone. It gets, like, bad. Like, towards the end especially, like, everyone's audios except Charlie Sheen start fucking dropping.
This movie had a budget of, like, $60 million.
It shows.
Yeah. You could make 2 School of Rocks with this movie.
Why have 2 School of Rocks? Look, one food fight in the hand is worth 2 School of Rocks in the bush.
There's a picnic in the woods, and he's trying to propose, and it gets interrupted by Daredevil Dan,
unable to fly his plane.
Yes.
Classic Daredevil Dan.
He can't do the loop de loop.
Can't do the loop de loop. He's gonna crash, but he does it, like, every day.
He explicitly mentions he can't do the loop de loop.
You can't do the loop de loop. It's impossible.
It feels. It. Nothing about this movie works. That's not true.
This movie, like, hurt Harrison. He was, like, texting me last night. He's watching it for his notes. And he's like, I have to watch it in 20-minute chunks.
Yes, taking notes, actively trying to watch and chart the plot of this movie.
No one's ever looked at this movie as close as you have.
Okay, I'm going to start. I mean, I've already mentioned a couple things I like about it.
7 pages of notes.
Yes. Christopher Lloyd rules. Charlie Sheen is putting in effort. There is 20 minutes.
You don't like you don't like the cooch shot of Lady X?
No. There's 20 minutes in the middle of this movie that are still bad, but are at least well-paced. That's about it.
You're not a big fan of the seductive wiles of Lady X?
No.
With her dead plastic. She looks like a fucking blow-up doll. She has, like, cold, dead eyes. And she only exists for sex.
I want to see... I wish the footage wasn't deleted. Because she looks fine in the trailer.
She looks fine in the trailer. Then you get to this character. Also, I'm not going to wait till when we get to the plot point to, like, mention this. She fucks humans.
Yeah?
Yeah, in the end, she mentions how men will do anything. Size only matters for men. She fucked humans.
So
she gave, like, a full body hand job to some fucking marketing exec to get into grocery stores.
Anyway, so the squirrel crashes the plane, and Sunshine goes after to look for him, and she disappears.
Yeah, and they're like, where is she? She's like, oh, she's probably just helping some baby or something. You know her. It's not like you're never gonna see her again.
Right, and then it cuts to 6 months later.
And he never saw her again, folks.
Yes, the Christopher Lloyd comes in as the brand ambassador for Brand X. Christopher Lloyd's character legit gave me a headache. Like, yeah. A real, like it hurt. Like,
he moves bad.
Yes, and it's revealed why later. It makes sense.
And he talks, I guess.
It's just poorly...
He's like, oh, and he's like stomps up potato chips, and the fucking grocery store owner's acting like a kitten just got stepped on, or like a child died in a car accident. He's like, these potato chips had so much more to live for. And it's like, buddy, you need to, like, he's not married. Maybe he's a widower. That explained a lot of this man's obsession.
So much sense. It's why he's... Oh, my God.
Like, I get to having pride in your job. But this is like a small pop mom and pop grocery. This is like Giant Eagle sized. That's really localizing us. It's like Giant Eagle sized. But, like, he's like, all of my food is special. Every bag, every Twinkie, every ho-ho deserves a good old tummy home.
Yeah. It's like they were about to go off to college and then they got killed in a drunk driving accident.
Yeah, and he's like, hey there, someone could have enjoyed this bag of potato chips.
Yeah, he, like, reacts to it like...
He's, like, cradling its dead
like
corpse.
Like, legit, a person died.
Meanwhile, we have a pirate potato chip doing a voiceover. And he's like, yar! Me chips!
So, yes. Is that our first foray back into the real world?
Yeah. We go there because then we go to Casablancaville.
Well, we go to his office first because he has the dream.
Oh, he has the dream about her.
And he can't find her. And they're in his office, and it has the... I hate the line. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine.
Yeah, there's that. It's revealed that he's, again, Casablanca. It ties into the later themes of this movie. But he owns a club now. He's no longer a cop.
The Cocoa Banana.
He's Wayne Bray's like, you want to fly with me? He's like, I'm sad, not suicidal. And then it gets into the action where he shows up to the biggest club in Foodville. That's what I'm calling it. And he's like a red carpet. Everyone's like, yeah.
Oh my God. It's like Marketopolis or something is like the legit
name of
the store.
It's probably Marketopolis.
It's like Marketopolis or something. In the background in his office, he has two movie posters that you and I both enjoyed.
12 Hungry Men.
And It's a Wonderful Life.
That's good. That's some good jokes right there. There's some good stuff in this movie.
No, legit, I wrote them down in my notes. They, like, caught my eye.
They
so
brought
much.
You a small amount of joy as you slogged through.
Those, if there were more background puns like that, if that were, like, the majority of
the
food
jokes. It would be a good
jokes,
movie, then?
I'm not saying good, but it would be better. If the majority of the food-based puns were background information and not like legit
brands,
yeah, we'd be a lot better.
But the club's important because that's where we meet the fucking bombshell,
yeah,
known as Lady X.
Oh yeah,
played by who?
Eva Longoria.
That's right, baby. She's here. She's bringing sexy back into the grocery aisle. I think she's a detergent brand.
Yes. X originally, yes, starts as a detergent brand and then becomes just like a general everything brand.
Everything brand.
For no real explanation. There are a couple things in this movie, and we'll get to one especially, but there are a couple things later. There are a couple things in this movie that I feel like there were scenes cut.
Oh, 100%.
That, like, explain.
This movie's, like, held together by, like, one man's weird dream.
Honestly, I respect it.
Do you?
Lawrence Kasdanoff. Man's had a goal. Was met with so much adversity. And
but
rather
he persevered.
And rather than taking the L and using it as a tax write-off, he decided.
He's like, no, no, the horny tuna needs to be horny for the sexy bombshell lady.
Oh, yes. She enters stepping on Charlie Tuna.
Yeah. And there's like this sexy music playing. Everyone's going, woo! Everyone's losing their fucking minds, folks. Over this hot. Her feet are burning up the ground.
Yeah.
Her tits are fucking there. She's just a hot piece of grocery meat. And everyone's losing their fucking minds.
I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't get it, but yeah.
What's not to get?
No, I don't know. It's just weird.
You don't look at that fucking absolute mama jama lady and fucking lose your mind.
No, I
as hard as a rock this entire movie.
Right now, anyway. no, I look at. I don't
know. I'm like, I'm not overplaying this. Like,
no.
This is a central plot device.
Is that she's attractive. And yes, it's, I don't know, it's the Jessica Rabbit thing where I watch and I understand.
You don't think Jessica Rabbit's hot?
On some objective animation.
You don't think Jessica Rabbit's hot?
Design level, they are hot.
Bruh.
Does not do anything.
You didn't fuck
for
Jessica
me.
Rabbit?
I mean, I would be friends with and if and then
Jesus
get to
Christ.
Know them as a person. But like, I don't
Two
know.
Two men in a hot take. Jessica Rabbit, not hot.
No, physically, she is animated specifically to be hot. And there's some objective measurements, whatever, in that they teach you in art school. I get it.
You sound like a gay man, a gay child in a conservative family, desperately trying to grasp the internal logic to stop his parents from sending him to like conversion camp.
No,
like desperately trying to mask. Like, her dimensions are great.
No, I get it. I understand. I fully get it. Jessica Rabbit and by turn Lady X. I don't know. I think it's because if I ever met a woman in real life, not with those dimensions, but with that body style, it would be more intimidating than, like, sexy. Does that
make
sense?
Nah, dude. Nah, I'd be like, woo!
Okay.
Yowza!
I don't know. This is...
Which is how people are supposed to react to beautiful women, as this movie teaches
no.
children. You see,
no, it's not.
You see a woman who has a nice figure, and you go, whoa!
No, what you're supposed to do is fall in love with your
boss. Your tongue comes out.
No, you're supposed to fall in love with your boss, and then flirt with them for a little under a year, and then you get drunk. I mean, there's so much more to the story, but you get drunk together, and you ask her to marry you.
This is a good segue. This summer, Harrison will be releasing 5 Tips for a Better Love Life, his new self-help book on how to find love in a Sheetz restaurant.
don't know. So Lady X is an attractive lady, I guess. And
some hot fucking
and
shit.
Everyone goes Auga, which I don't understand. I don't know. I've never had that reaction, even internally, to a,
internally,
to
you
a
never,
human person.
You've never been like, what a piece of meat!
No, I have looked at a lady and
you
been
don't,
like...
You don't drool?
No. I have looked at a lady and thought, like, you are an incredibly beautiful person, but, like...
You're not stamping your feet and howling at the moon?
No. I have never... I don't know... I've never had that eyes pop out in cartoon feeling. Like,
and you might feel like we're like going on for this a bit. If we were talking over the movie, the scene would not have ended by now. It's like a really long period of just showing all the Ikes getting really horny for this woman.
Yeah. Yeah, she steps on Charlie Tuna. You mentioned how jealous you are.
God. What's a fish got to do to get a little foot around here, you know?
Anyway, everyone's a little drunk because it's a club, and then they start fighting.
Yeah, they say food fight, which is
the
name of the
title
of
the movie. And then credits should roll then. Honestly, if the movie had ended then,
they do start fighting because Captain Potato Chip Man is angry that Brand X representative has stepped on his beloved chips. And hot lady Mick X says, I mean, what do you want me to do? It's not my fault you're ugly. And he takes offense to this for some reason. But then Daredevil Dan, who is at this point already expressed his deep desire to give many women his chocolate cream, starts defending her like a real fucking simp. And she's like, she says something along the lines of, I love a man who's got a little cocoa in him or something like that. And then they start the food fight, him and Mr. Potato Chip.
Yes. They get into a drunk fight together. Dex kicks everyone out.
After kicking some ass.
Yeah. And then, yeah, that's when Lady X and Dan leave together.
Yeah. He leaves together. He's like, I told you women love chocolate.
Yes. And then
we just said a lot in this fucking movie.
What?
It's like a lot of the lines. Probably a good fourth of the lines are along the lines
are
of...
Are just food puns?
Oh, women love chocolate. Oh, do you want some of my chocolate, baby? Oh, she loved the cocoa.
I hate this movie. I need you to know... I need you to know how much I hate this movie.
Yeah, Harrison is actively, physically, like, looks like he's in pain. He's covering his face up. He's pacing more than usual. This is a struggle for him right now, folks. Give him your sympathy. This movie did a number.
So we cut now, and he's in the office. Yeah, Dex is in his office.
Yeah.
He's day drinking. And then Lady X just barges in, doesn't knock.
Barges in a schoolgirl costume.
Which is so uncomfy.
As a Catholic, I feel represented.
As a man who went to church school for 15 years, nah, it's uncomfy.
Nah, it's great, man. Plaid skirts, plaid
no.
opera gloves.
No, okay, no. Not to bring back my thoughts on intimacy. As an adult, the idea of fucking a school child has never been appealing.
See that? See, you're right. You shouldn't fuck school children, but that's why you dress a grown ass fucking bombshell, and now you can.
No, because she's parodying a child. No, that's so uncomfy.
No, it's okay.
No,
it's okay.
It's okay. No,
yeah,
it's not.
It's like how I have women dressed up like my mom, and it's now weird.
Good for you, buddy.
There's nothing weird if someone dresses up as something. That's something this movie also teaches you, is that you can dress up as whatever. You can be whatever you want, and no one can yuck your yum.
That is kind of a core of this movie.
Yeah, the core of this movie is be yourself.
So, Lady X is trying to seduce Dex.
Yeah.
She has some special smelling perfume.
She has some special smelling perfume and no bones.
They start doing the tango.
Yeah, and she, again, no bones. She's moving in ways that, like, only Stretch Armstrong could. it's an intense, heavy scene. We had to pause it. I had to go take a cold shower. I can't believe this movie's PG. With that scene alone, it is dripping with sexual tension.
It's so uncomfortable. I don't know.
This movie always feels like it's the beginning of like a G-mod porno. Like a G-mod machinima porno. Like at any moment, I feel like they're actually about to start fucking.
Truly. She basically asks him to run away and start a new life with her. We find out that she was recalled.
Yeah.
And now she has new ingredients.
That's her I was drawn this way moment.
Yes. So who interrupts them right when they're about to fuck? Well, they're about to kiss.
There's
but they're
the,
about to fuck. Which one of
it's
them?
It's the ferret, right? Because they find
Is it Mare Ferret?
Yeah, because they find the fucking the chip guy's dead.
Oh yeah.
And that's
the
when
drunken sailor.
Yeah, we learn about Ikes. We learn the cult Ikes. We learn that if they die, the food stops being good, and it goes away out of grocery stores.
Yes, and
and she says, "I had an alibi. I was trying to fuck Dex."
Yeah,
officer,
this movie's so horny.
Officer, I couldn't have possibly killed this pirate. I was trying to get knotted upstairs.
Jesus Christ. So now with these Ikes gone and their not devices, products. Their products are about to leave the shelves. Brand X starts a takeover.
They swoop in, yeah. We see Lloyd come back and there's like he has his goons and he's like, time to I'm not sure why I gave him a southern accent. He's like, oh, Leonard. Leonard, I got new chips for you. Oh, here we go.
Yes. We learn also that Danny is missing.
Yeah, that that ever since he went to get some of that sweet, sweet ex-coochie, he's disappeared. Everything I'm saying is PG, apparently.
Also, ex-coochie sounds like he's going back to his ex. Now he's going to Lady X.
Generic brand coochie.
But it's, I mean, yeah, is it?
Bro, she got the generic brand coochie, though.
So, yeah, Brand X is... Okay, is Brand X supposed to be generic brand? I thought Brand X was just, like, media conglomerate.
It is generic brand, but not as, like, a store generic brand. It is a brand that is generic. Like, Brand X is not generic. It is a licensed brand, but the brand itself is generic.
Right, okay. It's like Unilever who makes, like, hamburger meat in addition to soap, in addition to...
Yeah, it's just, it's a conglomerate that just makes everything.
Yes, okay. So it's here we have the courtroom scene, which is not a courtroom, but it's the USDA, a town hall, essentially.
Yeah, it's kind of like a beer hall, one would say.
Yeah.
And then a Lady X like pushes into, she's this beer hall push.
Yes.
As she goes through the doors.
That is exactly what happened.
And she's like, hey, people are dying and now my chip guy's here. So how about we keep you safe?
Right. We are introduced to General X, who is essentially...
Horny.
Yeah, so...
What was the line he has? He's like, oh, I'd rather prefer being spanked or something like that.
He has a couple lines that are both implications that he's homosexual,
yeah,
and that he's so incredibly
he
horny.
Is a he is a caricature of a homosexual caricature out of a 1950s movie. And he sounds like he's always on the verge of nutting.
He is what Nazi propaganda
thought the gays were.
Yes.
He's like, I'm going to kill you.
So, yeah, so she, so Lady X takes over as their Führer.
Yeah, immediately. No one, everyone voices like, I don't want this to happen, but it, the motion passes.
Yes. We're introduced to essentially the three main Nazis.
Yeah.
The potato.
The potato, general.
The corn lizard.
Corn lizard.
Who's so horny.
So horny, he's like, oh.
And then there's Turkey Leg Hag.
Yeah, we've now been introduced to all three types of women that exist. Bombshell, Bird, and Hag. Here's a fun game you can play at home, all right? Take all the women in your life and put them into these categories. See who fits where. Send it in. Two Men in a Movie Podcast, I'll rate it.
Don't.
At gmail.com.
Don't tell them. Don't tell them.
Yeah, just do. You know, just tell you, go up to your mom and be like, you know, mom, I love you, but you're a bird.
So, earlier before the Copa Banana, we are introduced to Cheezle, the best character in
yeah,
this movie.
Yeah, he is
the best character in this movie.
He's a ferret.
Yes.
Made of shit.
He's a weasel.
A weasel.
Cheezle, the weasel.
Made of shit.
But he's like a cheese puff.
He's. I don't think he's a cheese puff, man.
I don't think he's made of shit.
I think he's a pipe cleaner.
No, but he's Cheezle the Weasel.
I think that's just his name is Cheezle. I don't think the name... I'm pretty sure he's made out of poop. He's the poop weasel. He's definitely made out of poop, my dude.
No, he's not.
He's glistens.
I don't...
And
no.
He speaks exclusively like he's a character from Majora's Mask.
Yes, he does.
He looks directly at us. Much like the masked salesman. He'll look directly at the audience... And be you delight in my misery, don't you?
There are a couple lines in this movie, most of them given by Cheezle, who, if they were in a better or a weirder, better movie, would fucking rule.
Lady Payne is an old friend.
That, and like, imagine that in like, a David Lynchian fucking...
Yeah, my misery delights you, doesn't it, is a David Lynch
yes.
line.
It does not work in this movie in the slightest, but he as a character, that archetype...
The con man shit weasel.
Yes. In a different movie would rule so hard.
I think this movie rolls, honestly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, truly, you using...
I brought it to the podcast, didn't I?
But you explicitly last week said that it was a real stinker.
Yeah, much like a fine goat cheese.
Oh, yeah, much like the French general
well,
man.
It's like a French general man.
So the reason
French
I brought...
pride's also a big theme in this movie.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah.
This movie is like so blatantly the brainchild of an auteur. Like everything in this movie is clearly just ripped from a man's worldview.
The reason I brought up that we see Cheezle the Weasel before is we now see Cheezle the Weasel again because is it the horny general?
It's the horny general.
The is he named? Is he a fit? Because General X is named. Are either of the other two given like official
names? I don't
think so.
I think he's just a horny guy.
Okay, so there's General X, Horn Dog, Hag Lady.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Horn Dog is pressing Cheezle the Weasel for information, pushing him towards the edge. That of course in interrogation is called edging, and so he's edging Cheezle the Weasel, and eventually Cheezle the Weasel falls. But he's not dead, and he's like, detective. A lot of people are looking for you.
Looking for Danny.
They're
too.
Looking for Danny. Lady Payne, an old friend of mine.
So he tries to solicit him for a bribe.
Like, I just watched this movie. I'm already like, I'm holding on to it so barely. So I'm grasping none of the events of this movie.
He solicits Dex for a vibe. Dex says, go fuck yourself. Because did you know that in PG movies, you're allowed one hard?
Yeah, you're allowed one. One swear.
But so Dex doesn't take it, and then Cheezle drops a wrecking ball on himself like it's a goddamn Acme cartoon.
It goes, oh, Lady Payne could be your acquaintance as well, Dogtective.
But we do find out that Dan is lost somewhere in the detergent aisle where Lady X was.
Yeah.
That is what is revealed.
He breaks into her home.
Yes, he sneaks in the office. Yeah.
In which, once again, you know, I don't agree with your takes in Jessica Rabbit, but Lady X is the hottest character in animated fiction. Because, like, I'm a very introspective person. I like to examine my thoughts and desires and why I do the way I do. And this movie really helped me realize that, like, what I'm really looking for in a woman is a bunch of recreations of famous art pieces, but, like, she's stuck herself into them.
Okay, not a joke. So real talk. How many art pieces of, like, parody art pieces would a woman have of herself before it got creepy and then before it got sexy again?
I think it just personally, I don't think it would ever be creepy.
Okay.
I'd be standing this queen so goddamn hard.
So, okay.
Despite my deep hatred of laundry.
Okay, so I think one or two, it's a good bit.
One or two is a good bit. Like, she has, like, the Mona Lisa, but it's her.
Yeah, I think that's a good bit. I think three's weird up until about eight.
So 3 to 8, it's
weird. I would be uncomfortable. It's a red flag. I would have trepidation.
But once you get to, like, 9 onwards, you're like, you know what? This dame's okay.
Yeah, then it's just a great bit. I don't necessarily... It's not, like, a thing that's... It's an immediate sex appeal. But, like, it's a good-ass...
You tell me that if you didn't walk into a woman's house, right? And she had, like, the Campbell cans, but they're all just, like, her face. You wouldn't be like, whoa!
I would not be like, whoa, but I mean, I would not, no. I would think it was funny. I would bring them up, but I wouldn't, no. I wouldn't.
Yowza! Woo!
So there is not a number for you that's creepy?
No.
Okay.
No, it's a green flag. Green lights all across the board, Captain.
So he breaks into
full
her office.
Full speed ahead.
He breaks into her office.
And she's there waiting for him. We get some midriff. More skin.
She didn't get dressed. She wasn't expecting anyone.
Yeah, but she still has her opera gloves on.
I was just about to say she is fucking like...
The opera gloves stay on.
Oh my god, that might be a red flag.
Is it like socks? Wearing socks?
Socks isn't that weird. I mean, if socks is the only thing you're wearing, that's weird.
You don't want your feet to get cold.
But in general, I don't know. I don't... Socks aren't that weird, I don't think.
But opera gloves
are uncomfy.
I mean, it appeals to me because it creates an immediate sense of emotional distancing,
that's
which I already exist in.
No, I would hate that. Sex is inherently emotional.
I go, oh... She's also maintaining, like, the idea that either of us can walk away from this at any point. We're on the same page.
No, I'm not saying that everyone needs to think the way I do, but...
That is contrary to how this movie wants you to think.
However, I don't know. Sex, in general, is inherently an emotional act. And the idea of there being emotional separation... is such a turn off. It's honesty and trust and, like, it's the merging of two people. It's,
hey kids, it's Matthew. If you want to just, like, fuck someone and move on, you can do that, like, as long
Absolutely.
As they're cool with it.
Yeah,
I know Harrison's over here Bible thumping, talking about how sex only exists between a married couple.
Woman, man,
you know, no difference there, but they have to love each other.
No,
and if you have
don't.
Sex outside of love, it's bad.
I didn't say that. For me it is. for me, I'm not saying everyone needs emotional intimacy for physical intimacy. I'm saying I do.
Fuck, you know, you can just, if you want to wear opera gloves, go ahead.
Nope, I would stop it. Genuinely,
we'll make some merch, some opera glove merch for Valentine's Day.
Just on the sleeve, it says two men in a movie.
Yeah, and the other one, it has both of us giving a thumbs up. So you know you're doing a good job.
So, I don't know. How did we get on this?
Oh, we were talking about the opera glove.
Oh, you're so right.
And this movie's just so fucking
horny. We literally
horny.
Went from A to B to A. Like, oh,
this
my
movie's
God.
Just so horny.
So they're doing the tango in the office, and that is not a euphemism, but it totally is.
Yeah.
But it's not a euphemism. And then everything is like, they're breaking shit all around, and like knives are falling from the sky.
And then she clonks him really good. And he wakes up in a dryer, and there is Wayne Brady.
Yes, but first she offers Dex essentially to be her first man. Like,
yeah, this is where she says to Neil.
I don't remember.
Like, at a certain point, she is just like,
she says something like, "Get on your
knees." Get on your knees.
And you got so unreasonably excited. You
don't yuck my yum.
I'm not yucking your yum. I'm happy you have your yum.
Look, and it was a nice return to form after like they said, you only let me do as much as you wanted me to do, which is something that a lot of women have told me in relationships. So it's nice to see more positive aspect of my life, which is get on your knees. Dog.
A lot of women have told you that.
Yeah.
Jesus yeah. Christ. I'm good
more,
for you. I'm
none
not
of the more opera gloves either.
I'm not yucking your yum, and that's good.
This is the No Yuck Yum podcast.
I'm not yucking your yum. I'm happy you're happy.
Well,
I mean, I'm happy you were happy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm fucking trying, buddy. This is so difficult. She offers him to be the first man, his like the husband of the Fuhrer.
Yeah, the husband of the Fuhrer is Eva Braun.
And she says no, or he says no, and then she knocks him the fuck out. He
all
wakes up.
There.
Yeah, he wakes up and Dan's there. And they're in a dryer. I thought it was a furnace at first. I thought it was like a direct. Like,
it is.
But it wasn't.
It is.
It started spinning. And I'm like, oh, it's a dryer.
It's still an oven, my guy.
No, I get it. I get it. I understand. 100% I get the metaphor.
She stuck a, spoilers, Jewish dog and a black man into an oven.
I get it. It's uncomfy. It's real uncomfy. Go ahead.
Schindler's Grocery List.
Holy shit. That's a good one, honestly.
You're all day.
You should get a letterbox and literally just put that.
But that's the only review. Schindler's Grocery List.
If you don't, I will put that as my
five out
review.
Of five stars.
Yes. I will put that as my review for the second watch through on Letterboxd. But anyway, so they're in the dryer. Brand X is officially like starting to fully take
yeah,
over.
She's changed into her latex lace outfit.
Yes, and it's like a dystopian sci-fi like universe.
Yeah, she's like cyborg mosquitoes.
Yes, but they escape the dryer by using a sock, because socks always escape the dryer.
Always escape the dryer.
That they were stuck in the dryer for 90 seconds.
Yeah, well, to be fair, Dogtective didn't worry. Wayne Brady was freaking out. He's like, just breathe. We'll figure out a way. He didn't seem too worried by this.
No, 100%. There were no stakes.
It takes a while to dry clothes.
I think in their head, and I know these movies came out in different, I think Toy Story 3 came out afterwards, but I think in their head they were doing the Toy Story 3
but better
Right, the Toy Story 3 furnace scene.
But better.
Yeah, sure.
More stakes.
I think that's in their head what they were trying to accomplish.
Look, I see the Toy Story 3 scene, and I just see a bunch of pieces of plastic about to be burned, not emotionally resonant. I see this scene where they're in the dryer, and my mind harkens back to one of the greatest tragedies of the 20th century.
Okay.
Possibly history. Yeah. Probably history.
I don't want to.
You don't want to rank it?
I don't want to rank tragedies, especially because we're both white men.
Yeah, our voice needs to be heard.
Oh, my God. Okay, so they get out of the dryer in like 90 seconds because there's no stakes to this movie. There's dystopian sci-fi where they now have exobite robots that we're just supposed to know what those are.
He goes, ah, exobites.
Doesn't explain anything.
She's in her, like, up to her hips leather boots.
Yes. And Dex has an idea how to save everyone because they're not going to last more than one more day. But it's a really, really, really dangerous plan.
Yeah, three reallys.
So
Wayne Brady never seen that many reallys. He freaking out.
Yeah, immediately after a Jewish man and a black man were in an oven, they cut to the largest nose doctor you ever did see.
He is a nose.
He's the tissue brand, right?
I think he's a tissue, or he's like a cold medicine maybe.
Okay, maybe probably cold medicine because he's a doctor.
Yeah, he looks like if you took Woody Allen, took off his head, stuck a giant nose where his head was, then put Woody Allen's glasses back on the nose.
I'm a little shocked this wasn't voiced by Woody Allen.
Yeah, it's a Jewish caricature, folks.
Oh my God.
It's aggressively like, it's bad.
But we find out, we learn that Brand X, the elixir they use, their secret formula, is toxic and addictive.
Yeah.
And they need to cross the store during the daytime in order to get some information that can help tear them down.
Yeah, they need to do a refund, a recall order.
Yes. They lose hundreds of icons overnight, and Brand X has now taken basically complete control of the store. So they start their little Indiana Jones adventure.
I don't get the plan. Like, if I went to a grocery store that I'd been to like last week and I got there and all they had was like Brand X and I couldn't find like anything, like my Yoplait yogurts or my Go-Gurts, I'd be like, I'm going to go to another store.
Maybe. I don't know.
I wouldn't just be like, well, guess I'm buying Brand X now.
I don't know. But it's highly addictive, don't you see? And they have a secret.
You got to eat it first.
No, it's the secret perfume formula.
Oh, I forgot about the perfume.
Yeah, the perfume, buddy. So they start crossing the store during the day, which in what I want to think they think is Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure we mentioned it. Dex Doctective does just dress exactly like Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Like, no difference.
First, he's Humphrey Bogart. And then once he agrees he's back on the case, he goes Indiana Jones.
He goes, yeah. No, he's Indiana Jones at the beginning of the movie.
Okay, but for a large chunk in the beginning
Default Doctective is Indiana Jones.
Sure.
He's on the cereal box.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. You're right, sorry. They start crossing the store.
Do you think the food changed when he became Humphrey Bogart? You think people were eating it like, why does that taste like Argentina?
Honestly, okay, so do you think those are like his two looks, like how mascots and commercials can have
different looks?
Do you think those are like his two looks in the commercial,
or like maybe it's like Captain Crunch Berry?
Maybe. Yeah. So there's Cinnamon Sleuth cereal and Cinnamon Sleuth cereal Argentina. So they think they're doing Indiana Jones.
They do.
Yes, they.
It's a riveting. I was on the edge of my seat.
Yes,
it's a riveting action scene. It's floating soda bottles, just like the worst people I've ever seen.
Oh, yes. So they get lost in these carts. A baby catches. Oh, because they got to fly. They're flying.
They're flying around, yeah.
They're flying. I've seen this movie twice
today. Like, you can tell that this person is a big fan of, like, the people of Walmart Reddit.
Yes. r/Walmart.
Yeah, like, he is just, like, the public is disgusting hogs. Because everyone in this grocery store is a fucking troglodyte.
So, they crash. Danny finds this baby.
Finds his baby.
And the mother just, like, takes Danny out and flicks him back. He lands in...
I worked in a grocery store before. That is how a customer will act. Oh, I don't want this thing. Yeet!
They don't even, like, put it on the wrong shelf?
I mean, if you're lucky.
Okay. So, they... Dex is not on a cart. I mean, he is, but he's not the one we're following at this exact moment. Danny is at the bottom of a cart, and X-Hag has a turkey leg and is now trying to kill Danny, and Dex saves them by riding a grape soda 2-liter.
Yeah, like, not, it hasn't been opened yet. It is merely floating about.
Right. No, it had been open at that point. It was only floating about at the end because they sprayed grape soda. That's how they got the jet. Like,
that's when she broke it off, though. She broke the cap off.
Okay, that's what I said when we were watching it, and you were like, no, it was always open.
No, I said the opposite.
No, you didn't. Okay.
You were too addled with lust over this horny-ass movie to hear what I was saying properly. So was I, though.
So, as he's flying, oh my god, we forgot to bring up Polar Penguin, who feels like...
He's such an important character, we forgot about Polar Penguin!
He's saved in the beginning,
And he's so important, folks.
And so he's a character that saved at the beginning and becomes friends with Dex. I'm not. So as he's flying grape soda over the ice cream aisle, Polar Penguin is there, and Dex warns Polar Penguin to, like, let everyone know.
He goes, "Penguin, Nazis are bad. Tell everyone."
And he's like, "Aye, aye, Captain, you got a friend in me." And they make it just barely. The doors to the back office storage area is closing, but they just make
it. They just make it, and they meet
Vlad Chuckle, who...
You hate this guy.
I hate
so
him.
Much.
He's a Count Chocula parody. He's a vampire chocolate bat who...
Kind of...
Who was
kind of Harvey Weinstein-ish?
Yes, but yes, not but. But as in, like, this is a separate thought. Not but as in, like, I'm trying to excuse any of his sexual harassment. I'm not trying to excuse any of his sexual harassment. He's fucking creepy, and I hate him. he was one of the Ikes that were killed the first round.
Yeah.
But he's undead, so we can't actually die, which leads to the worst line in the movie, where he's like, "I'm undead, which means I'm not dead and I'm not alive. It's like being in summer school." And then the movie pauses for like 2 seconds for the audience to laugh, but no one ever does. It's going to be such a bad line. And then he goes like, "Come on, that was funny. That was a funny joke. You guys need to get my sense of humor." I hate it. It's the worst moment of the movie. I hate it so much.
It sounds like a personal.
I mean, it's a little bit. I've seen open micers do it. I've seen people do it in real life also. I'm sure I'm not innocent
of that. I'm
pretty
sure you said that joke, dude. It's one of your favorite jokes.
No, not that joke. I mean, that joke is bad.
That
I hate that joke.
Specific joke. I think they stole it from you.
The joke itself is awful enough and would still be the worst line of the movie. But at least, like, let it be a failed joke that you, like, tried. Don't then back out of the fact that, like, you know it's a bad joke and so you're trying to save yourself. I want to know, in the original movie with the original animation, I want to read the first script. Is the script basically the same? Because do you think
I don't think they re-recorded Charlie Sheen's lines.
That would make sense. Okay. So you think that...
I think there's changes, but the core is there because Charlie Sheen has the performance and auto quality of a man who's giving a job his best, and it's his first and only time doing so.
Yeah. So you think the 2004 version of this movie that would have been released in theaters that wasn't lost, do you think it would have been as corny?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think there would have been different jokes?
I think there would have been different jokes. I don't think they would have been better.
Okay. So
I think it would have been hornier.
It's the worst joke, and I hate it so much. It's the worst part of the movie. They then talk to an IBM computer in the office to get up information about recall stuff.
Dancing IBM lady.
Named Blue. Yes. The ex-army is using loony glue to lock the trio into the office. We find out that there were two recalls on file. One was Priscilla Prune, and then the other
Priscilla Prune's genetically enhanced large prunes.
Yes, I was about to get to that after I said who the second recall was.
Big old prune lady.
She is
hideous. Okay. And that's how we know she's bad.
Yes, that is the rules of this movie for some reason. This second is Sunshine Goodness. We find out that the raisin Sunshine Goodness cat was recalled.
Much to the dismay of many a teenage boy.
Much to the dismay of Dex Dog Detective.
Yeah, he was getting that too.
So Brand X cuts the office electric right as they're about to send an email. Oh, we also find out Brand X ordered both of those recalls.
Yeah. I don't think that's how that works.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. I was never a manager.
What? So like, I'm Pepsi. I'm gonna do a recall on Coke.
Okay. I don't know.
You can't recall someone else's shit.
Okay. So Brand X cuts the electric to the office. And now they were sending an email to HQ about the recall to recall Brand X, but they don't know whether or not the email went through before the electric got cut out, and so now they gotta fight.
They gotta resist.
Yes. The Nazis go full Nazi and talk about undesirable Ikes. They go to the expiration station.
Yeah. They
go
straight to Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Either desirable or not. We're all united under X to the expiration station with you.
Yes. The turkey lady does this horrible hell burp, which would make her undesirable, but she blames the koala.
Yeah, and he gets taken away.
Yes. They then have a real chant, a Nazi chant, which is one store, one X, one world, one X.
Yeah, it is.
It's a full ass.
It's full on Nazi. It's a full on. It is legitimately one German, one people.
Oh my God.
And they're Nazis saluting both. This movie is not subtle. Okay. No, this man's never doesn't know what allegory is. Or
subtext.
Or subtlety. If a woman's gonna flirt, she's gonna put her leg around your neck.
So, there's a secret meeting at the Copa Banana. I keep wanting to say Copacabana, and I understand that's the fucking joke. But I have to train myself every time to say
you
Copa
have to
Banana.
Be in the world of the movie.
At the Copa Banana, and there's a secret meeting to join the resistance. Horny Corny X barges in, telling them that Dex has been discontinued. And they demand sworn loyalty. And that's where we're introduced to the French cheese general, who just fucking farts in Horndog's face.
Yeah, farts in his face.
Dex shows up, and they start playing. Oh, well, yeah. First, when they're swearing loyalty, they're singing a Nazi song.
Yeah. They're doing like a really generic, tuneless song.
Yes.
Swearing loyalty to the great.
Yes.
Brand
and then
X.
Dex shows up and says, play it. And they do, march music.
Like the marching French. Band.
Yeah.
Like, maybe the French national anthem.
See, yeah.
It sounds like a traditional French song.
It does. It does. I thought it was, like, the store theme song. Like it's a mom and pop shop, so maybe they play, like, some kind
of
theme.
It's a giant eagle.
No, it's, I mean.
It's so big.
I know. In my heart of hearts, it's a.
They can put 10.
That widower runs that store because his wife is
10
dead.
10 semi-trucks in the parking lot.
No, it started as a bodega. And then
no loading dock in sight.
They worked their way up. That's why this widower runs this business.
They have a giant neon sign.
Yes, because they worked their way up from nothing after coming through to Ellis Island.
In the year 2000?
Yeah, there's no. Okay. That man, that grocer, is either like 60 or 90. He's. Anyway, okay.
I don't know when Ellis Island closed. I can't speak with authority on the subject.
He saw the real Nazis, is my point.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely seen the real Nazis.
So that's Ellis Island. So the ex-army leave, and they threaten revenge. Dex gives a war rally speech at the same time Lady X is giving her war rally speech.
Is this where she does the cooch shot?
Yeah. I think she does the cooch shot.
Like around. She does this thing where she like.
I think. Okay, go ahead.
She says like, you all have to be submissive to me. And then she like flashes a cooch shot. And the next scene's her leg with like the entire middle, like the entire left side of the screen is just like her vagina. And then a bunch of exobytes like fly by and it looks like they're flying out of her vagina.
Right. Where was I? Oh, they were given the rally speech. Dex can be found in the cookie aisle, apparently, and the army is sent. They're now starting to start the official battle.
Yeah, it is now the siege of Berlin.
Yes. And while the Nazis are going to attack, the icons dump hot chocolate and they throw other food and it's a food fight.
And
they say it again.
Food fight.
They say food fight. Because it was a trap, don't you see?
Yeah.
General X orders a retreat, but runs into the French General Cheese. But it was another trap that was set, and pie bombs get launched, and one of them hits General X.
It does nothing.
Right, basically. Oh, this is the coup shot. Okay. Lady X orders a larger army and attack and retaliation. Where they launch like peas and ketchup and whipped cream, and then the cooch shot
she births her army.
The exobots.
She metaphorically births her army.
Yeah. There are resistance attempts through. They like try and do the resistance with like the faulty toaster, but it doesn't work. Or like they try and do it with the toaster, but it's faulty. It doesn't work. Trying to think. Oh my god. Oh, that they do the air raid with the gumballs.
Yeah.
The entire runtime I'm like, the Vlasic Pelican is not in this movie. Why the fuck is he on the cover? And then
he's in
like,
the most pivotal scene.
He's in like four shots and no speaking lines.
None of the main like actual mascots have speak.
But yeah, Dan is flying the plane, and then the birds are all chewing, and the vampire bat, everyone that flies is all chewing gum, and they drive straight into the exobots and then catch them in their
gum,
in their
up
gum
the
bubbles.
Works.
Yeah. Catch them in their gum bubbles. Then there are just too many exobites. So they're fighting back, but they are losing terribly.
Yeah. You can't stop the Nazi war machine. It's a blitzkrieg.
Yeah. Oh, also, I had no idea. The first round of Nazi attack were the peas, and I could not tell what they were.
Shooters.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, now that you explain it, but like they were just like circles, and genuinely, I thought they were like default shapes that he forgot to like edit into something, or like that they forgot to animate, that they were just like the default like filler shapes. I genuinely thought that's what that was. But no, it's peas and a pea shooter. You're right, and I'm stupid. But yeah, not the X brand launch eggs. A Dex saves Polar Penguin and calls everyone to retreat to the Copa Banana, right?
Yeah.
That's what happens afterwards. Yeah.
I'll be honest, don't remember much of this scene. It goes on for a long time.
I wish this were better paced, because it's
the majority of the film.
Oh my god, or it feels like it. Yeah, it's okay. You know how the airport hangar scene in Captain America Civil War is like 45 minutes, but like it feels like fucking 15
minutes.
Yeah,
I was about to say, it's 45 minutes?
It's like 40 minutes.
Holy shit.
It's so long. It's so much of that movie. But it doesn't feel that way. I'll have to rewatch. I mean, I'm not going to rewatch the movie. I'm going to have to relook up to see. But I think that's what they were going for. I know this came out a decade later. But like, I think
that was
in
the feel they were going for.
Yes. They retreat to the Copa Banana. Maximilius is stuck in the pothole. Or the like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the shithole.
Yeah, the shithole. And then he's like, I shouldn't have eaten the donut. And he was like, and Dex is like, nah, we're fighting for your right to eat donuts. Just don't eat 40 of them at once. Moderation, baby. then, yeah, the Cheezle the Weasel decides that he wants to join the resistance instead. Though apparently he was like on their side. But like, or it was
Cheezle the Weasel's his own fucking name.
Exactly. But Dex tried to imply that he was like on their side, but
he's not Brand X.
Yeah, I don't know. So he decides to join the resistance.
I love your hat.
Thanks. He decides to join the resistance and go down the shithole instead. And then they build aluminum foil lightning rods on top of the building, which had the moment where I had us rewind.
Oh, yeah. It was the only time Harrison said, I want more food fight.
Because
like he went to the bathroom and he's like, can you pause? Don't pause the movie. And I'm like, I'm pausing the movie.
So they're on the top of the Maximilius is on top of the Copa Banana and he's making a lightning rod and he does moose antlers because reasons.
He's a moose.
And he like sits it straight down and then it's so badly like shifts.
Frame to frame changes. Like, it's a frame shift.
Like shifts. And you see this like it's the most awkward movement. It's so upsetting.
Man missed his mark.
But they didn't then make
they already spent all the money. They had to remake this. They can't go back and reanimate the whole thing.
They could reanimate that one shot.
No, it was over budget.
But he just fucking it shifts ever so slightly.
You didn't notice it the first time?
No.
See, it works.
But I noticed it the second time.
I didn't think anyone would watch this movie twice.
No one should have watched this movie once.
Disagree.
Oh my god. But oh my god. So it's the aluminum foil. That's the thing also. There's a scene missing. There's so many scenes missing. There's a scene missing. Because apparently Mayor Ferret was like on the Nazi side.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. At no point is there ever a scene.
If you're not fighting a Nazi, you're on a Nazi side.
No, but it seems like he was like working with them.
Nah, this is merely commentary that you can't tolerate intolerance, and to do nothing is to aid the enemy.
No, this
it's a very pro activism movie, I'd say.
Yeah,
it's pro activism.
Okay. Fucking hell. Okay.
You know, like that one must show resistance in the face of evil. And you will know evil because it will be ugly.
But okay, so they bring in King Fart Frog And they're about to cut off his tongue, and then Ferret Mare is like, nah, fucking, this is the last straw. I'm so tired.
Don't you hurt that frog.
I'm so tired of this movie by then. Oh, I really do. I really write this in my notes. The Lady X lets him leave, calls for the extermination. The onslaught continues. Now we have the Exobite kills Polar Penguin.
Yeah.
Because the penguin's like, I'm good. I'm here to help. And then they roll over General X, the potato, with a can because he like traps him in markup tape or like the markup stickers and then rolls him over in a can in the most anticlimactic death ever put to screen.
Yeah, there's not much of a climax at all to this movie, I would argue.
And then I literally wrote in my notes, how the fuck is there 20 minutes left of this movie?
Yeah, like we could just breeze through. Like nothing happens.
Oh my
it's just a big food fight for
two more pages of
40
notes.
How?
So they have the funeral where they give all of the icons that died
like
the Viking
really
funeral.
Well animated coverings.
Truly, the only part of this movie that's like.
Well animated. These fucking tissues they drape on their bodies.
And it's like a representation of a Viking funeral, and the French cheese general is one of the people who died. And Polar Penguin is like, you got a friend on in the afterlife if there is one. Because that's one of his current things, is like, you got a friend in me, essentially.
You got a friend.
That's,
in
yep,
me.
Yep, yep. Doctor Knows, I don't know if he ever has a name. Doctor Knows.
Dr. Jewish Stereotype.
Yes. He discovers that X is actually a deservative, which is the opposite of a preservative, and it spoils products immediately upon touching them. And there's an antidote that is needed, and
can't even keep the bit up. This movie is so fucking bad.
Oh my god,
it is so fucking bad.
I think we truly have like reached the arc of the movie where we like have stopped caring at the same part of the movie where we've just officially
it's
stopped
just
caring.
Blah 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 blah. They fight. The fucking big grocery, the Brand X ambassador shows up and he's stomping on people and then he gets knocked down somehow. I don't remember how.
So, okay.
And then like, ooh, the head opens up and it's a robot and Lady X is in there. And then like, fucking she kicks Dog Detective's ass because he won't hit a woman, not now, not ever. But luckily, he gets captured.
You were skipping ahead. This is why I have the notes.
He gets
captured,
and there's Hilary Duff, and she's okay, but they took her essence
Hilary
to make
Duff
a perfume.
Hilary Duff is sunshine goodness.
And then she calls.
Turns out.
She calls her a bimbo and beats her up so hard the plastic surgery undone. Because she's the prune lady, and she's ugly. And that's why she's bad. And she gets taken away, and they get married, and Dog Detective is Jewish. That's the movie, folks. I just saved you 40 minutes of watching
this. It's like 20, but yeah. He sneaks into the ballroom office again, gets captured, finds out that Sunshine Goodness is alive.
Jesus
Not only that,
Christ.
Her essence is the secret ingredient of...
She has her fucking Holocaust brand on her neck.
It's so upsetting. It's so upsetting. Her essence is the secret. Is the secret to their formula. That's why it was so addicting. So Cheezle the Weasel pops out into the outside and cuts down an electric line, which causes lightning to strike inside the store.
Like, I don't even remember this.
And that's phase two, is that the lightning is striking, but the aluminum lightning rods are, like, diverting. And and the X building crumbles, and then Christopher Lloyd comes back. But turns out it's Lady X. Christopher Lloyd is a robot piloted by Eva Longoria. Like you said, and turns
she's
out
the prune. This is where
she was the prune lady.
This is
the whole
she went
time.
To Brazil to get work done, and this is where she reveals that she has fucked humans. She has fucked humans.
Yes, and Sunshine, Dex won't hit a woman.
She's like 4 inches tall.
Sunshine beats her ass.
She's 4 inches tall. How did she fuck women? How did she fuck humans?
I don't want to think about it.
Like, sure, I guess she could fuck a woman all right. But, like, how does she fuck a man? She's as big as his cock.
So Sunshine,
we gotta think about it. It's a crucial part of how Brand X got back in. This is a plot important part, Harry, my boy. Is he's like, how did you get unrecalled? And he's like, I fucked people in charge.
Because size only matters with men. Is that the fucking line?
That is the line.
Dex won't hit a woman, but Sunshine will, and she starts handing her ass to her.
Calls her a bimbo.
Calls her.
She says, "This bimbo's mine."
And then it starts just whooping her ass so hard she turns back into the hag.
Yeah, she
lady.
Knocks the plastic surgery out of her, and everyone goes, "Oh God, she's ugly. Oh fuck."
And then Dr. No's found the antidote and brings all of the icons back to life.
And then we have like a big musical number. And
Dex proposes. Sunshine says yes. And
he stomps on the milk.
He stomps on the milk. The milk carton. Yeah. He stomps on the milk carton.
That is literally the last line of the movie. Dex is Jewish. He's kosher. Credits.
Yes. Yeah. And then everyone hooks up at the wedding. Okay.
Everyone fucks at this wedding.
So.
Jeez.
I am so sorry to anyone who's listening at this point, because we've given up.
There's a lot of porn of this movie.
Okay, I don't want to know.
I looked it up. There's a lot of. If you see this movie and you're in a similar boat as me, you're like, what does it look like when the cat gets fucked by the dog? Don't worry, the internet has you. There's so much images if you Google it.
I mean, you're an adult. Do what you want.
You can find Sunshine Happy, whatever the fuck her name is, getting dick down. Okay. Also, a lot of stuff between the moose and dog detective.
Oh, my God. Final thoughts?
God. You know, don't fuck Nazis.
That's good. Don't watch this movie. Next week, I'm also bringing in an animated movie, but it's one that I love, because that was the point of this in the beginning, was that we wanted to bring in movies that we loved that the other person hasn't
seen. I love
that
this exists.
You know what? Yes, I am happy that Lawrence Kasdan finally got to release this movie. I am happy that after more than a decade of development hell and losing the movie and making the movie twice but worse, I'm happy it exists.
Was it worth it, Lawrence? Are you happy with, like, can you look your wife in the eye?
Next week, we're watching an animated movie.
You make her dress up as the cat lady.
We're watching an animated movie that I love. We're watching Mamoru Hosoda's Summer Wars. It fucking rules.
You're not invited, Lawrence. Yeah. You sick fuck.
Spoilers. Summer Wars rules. It'll definitely be a palate cleanser after this movie. Holy shit. I fucking hate this. I tried at the beginning to have some level of energy. I've lost it now.
I'm literally, as soon as we stop recording, I'm kicking you out and I am turning over. I'm taking a nap.
That sounds good.
It has drained me.
I love you.
I love you too, buddy. Wait, we got up to our socials.
Oh, no.
We're not done yet, folks.
Go do
okay,
them.
Okay, if you want to email us, have you written some particularly fantastic dog, Dex Detective, Sunshine, what's her name?
Sunshine Goodness.
Sunshine Goodness, X-rated fan fiction, and you want to send it to us? I'm not going to read it. I only read X-Reader second person. But you can send it for Harrison at twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, where eventually I'll probably upload pictures of us. We're going to do a little fun promotional stuff at twomenmoviepodcast. That's it. Just follow that at Instagram. I was going to say like at instagram.com. This movie has killed me. We're on X at... Oh, what is it? It's different, and I hate X.
It's Two Men and a Movie.
Two Men and a Movie. You can find me on Instagram at Midwest_magician.
This is Editing Harrison saying that you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at harrisonpoole.com. That's P-O-O-L-E, harrisonpoole.com.
And remember, folks, the secret's inside. The secret's inside.
Thank you, Tristan.
The secret's inside.
Thank you, Tristan Hostetter, for our theme song. Fuck you, Matthew, for making me watch this
movie. Lady X could step on me any day of the week.
Good night. I love you.
Kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.